From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
I'm Raymond Chen.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, and we are here back at the Microsoft Archives. We were here about a year ago with Larry Osterman, who's an old-time Microsoft veteran, and now we are here with Raymond, who you may remember from our previous...
Last week, or however many...
However long it takes for this thing to make it through processing.
Our last actual episode, whenever that is. So, yeah, we're going to check it out. It's, what, 20 years since Windows 95?
Mm-hmm. And nearly 30 years
since Windows 1.0 came out. So we got a few anniversaries here. We're going to go check out some of the cool memorabilia here related to Windows.
So let's go do a fast action thing.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right, so we're inside the Microsoft Archives with our archivist, Amy, and Raymond, obviously, who we just met outside. But we're going to go check some cool stuff here. What do we got on the table here?
So a couple of these things are left over from the Windows 95 reunion party. These are actually some of the things that got loaned and a couple of things that got donated. But the stuffed animals were special because Raymond actually brought in a photo of not one of these, but one of the mascots from the Windows 95 team for the party.
So they're both from Windows 95, these two mascots?
They're from the Windows team, actually. The little bear was with them for Windows 3.0.
Windows 3.1. The little bear was a primary mascot for Windows 3.1, and he carried over to Windows 95. But he picked up two friends. The bear was called Bear. If you go through the Windows 3.1 credits, you'll see Bear.
The help about or something? Or?
Yeah, there's like some crazy sequence to get through the Easter egg, and there's
the
a bear,
egg, right?
And okay. He was just Bear.
Somebody can go with that.
And he picked up a friend Bunny, and he picked up another friend 32-bit Bunny.
That's 32-bit Bunny.
That's 32-bit. I didn't even recognize 32-bit Bunny because 32-bit Bunny was pink back in the day.
Oh,
the years have not been kind to 32-bit Bunny.
Oh, he's faded.
And she
he's
doesn't
faded.
Faded.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
He's got a hat, so you can't see his bald spot. You know. You know, Bunny's wearing a cape, but I don't remember Bunny ever wearing a cape. That's basically, cool. Stealing the mascot and hiding it was one great way to get back at
the code review process.
He was in charge of a lot of things.
Yeah. Cool. So there's posters here of DOS is dead.
DOS is dead. The command prompt here, 1978 to 95. That obviously didn't happen because I still use the command prompt now.
Yeah.
It's an incredible simulation of DOS, and people still call it DOS even though it's not.
That's actually true. Yeah.
Yeah. This poster is my understanding is this poster was a prototype of a marketing campaign that they decided not to run with, but it made it as far as having a poster. And I think there was even a video made, wasn't there?
And a T-shirt.
So
it wasn't by marketers.
Oh, this was a rogue operation?
Yes.
Okay.
That explains because I can't imagine like any marketing like
actually signing off on this.
Yeah, be like, hey, we got this great new product coming out. It's going to change the world. And we're going to run with a campaign of a gravestone.
Yeah, that'll get people excited.
That'll really get people fired up.
Okay. So it was a total rogue operation.
Nice. That makes more sense. But I do like this though. Yeah. And then we've got a Chicago T-shirt here.
Yeah, so this was a team T-shirt that was given out to all the team members. This one's in pretty good shape. Most of them got worn to the point of unrecognizability.
Right. So Windows 95 was codename.
Right, Chicago. It was the codename for Chicago. It was named Chicago in response to Cairo, which was the Windows NT user interface project. The theory being that Cairo is an awful long way, but we can make it to Chicago. So that's where Chicago came from.
That's cool.
It was like NT351, I think, was codenamed Tukwila, which is a town not too far. It's like maybe an hour's drive.
Close 10 miles from here.
Near SeaTac Airport.
Yeah, it's near the airport, so it's like. It's really not that far from here. It's like we can make at least a Tukwila.
Tukwila.
If you had to, you could walk it.
Right, yeah. And then I think Windows 98 was Memphis, right?
Yeah, so that's like, there was Nashville.
Oh, Nashville.
Nashville in between, then Windows 98 was Memphis. Nashville was shell update with IE4. Oh, that was Nashville. And then Memphis. And I think somebody tried to have a project called Jamaica, but the name didn't catch on. All these names are sort of kind of like it's a lot like gasoline prices where somebody pitches a name and they see if anybody follows them.
Yeah.
Then Longhorn was 2000, right?
Longhorn.
Yeah.
No. 2000 was just.
Longhorn was never.
Longhorn was Vista.
Yeah, Longhorn. Longhorn became. The name Longhorn eventually became applied to Vista.
It wasn't originally.
Vista's
development cycle was rather troublesome.
It's going to be the subject of a VH1 Behind the Music documentary someday.
The rise, the fall, the drug rehab, the eventual sort of redemption.
Then the guy goes into rehab again, relapses, and they don't cover that because they always have to end on a high note.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Windows 7 was the eventual redemption, I guess, of Vista. So then we've got.
The project Windows 95 was codenamed Chicago, and there are a whole bunch of like follow-on, basically people took that name and ran with it. So like the mail client was called Capone because Al Capone was well associated with Chicago. Sure. Mind you, he was kind of a nefarious guy, so I don't know why they picked that one. Internet Explorer was codenamed O'Hare because that's how you get from Chicago to the rest of the world.
Makes sense.
Trying to think what other Chicago themed related product. That's all that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure there were others.
Yeah. Cool.
So we've also got the Windows 2000 launch poster. And we've shown this.
We showed this at one point on the show. There's one hanging up in building 26.
In the OEM ship room. Or the ship room.
The old ship room.
And you're on.
These are.
Chad's over here.
I am in there. A very younger version of me.
But Raymond's on this one as well.
I'm up here in the yellow shirt with the necktie. Right there.
Oh, I see you.
Yeah, and so there were some rogue operations in here. So actually, the colors, I think, actually coded something, right? Like, development was in yellow and whatever.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of, like, rogue operations. Like, all the guys in the yellow, with the orange baseball caps were kernel developers. They decided they were all going to wear orange baseball caps so people could spot them. And so there are, you know, when people learn there's going to be a team photo, everybody's trying to come up with a gimmick to stand out in the photo.
Yeah.
I don't know if the shape of the mass actually means that. I don't think it actually meant anything.
I don't think so. I remember we showed up and they had it kind of staked off on the grass and we were trying to, you're seeing it from ground level, we're trying to figure out like, what is this?
What is it? Because you're in the forest, you can't see the forest.
Yeah, you couldn't figure it out. And then when we saw the photo, we're like, it wasn't anything, it was just a bunch of stuff.
There was a picture, a similar team picture for Windows 95. I remember the story behind that. I was like, hey, we're gonna go take a team picture for Windows 95. It's gonna be great. This is the one, you know, with everybody in the walkway up to Building 5, and the carrot that they used to get everybody to take part in the picture is said, and everybody will get a copy of the picture.
Mm.
Nobody got a copy of the picture. Yeah. The picture was taken, and then it was totally forgotten about. One of my friends was like, hey, we never got the picture. I'm going to go find the picture. So he just started bugging people. It's like, where's my picture? You told me we're going to get a picture. Eventually, he got a copy of the picture.
He gets it.
Because he actually like managed to bug enough people. It's like, okay, we did. I guess technically we did promise you a picture. Here you go. But nobody else got a picture.
Squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we also have a picture of you way up here being carried by someone. Do you know who this is?
So back in Windows 95 days, that project lasted a long time. And so we had to do whatever we could to keep ourselves amused.
Hmm.
And so this was dressed like Raymond Day, where everybody else came to work in a suit.
Right, because you were sort of famous.
Because that was my thing.
Yeah, sure.
And I came to work in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
So
the funny thing about this is that, you know, we have all these pictures of dressed like Raymond Day, everybody wearing nice suits and whatever, lots of pictures, people in suits. But that's like, if you try to find pictures of stuff, those are most of the pictures you find. So you don't actually see what people wore day to day. It's like, the only picture I have of Mike is a picture of him in a suit.
Right.
And so you think, you're just like, that's the only thing you have to cling to is a picture of Mike in a suit, which he only wore that one time.
Right.
You know, it's like when you're a kid and you look at your family album, it's like, wow, we spent a lot of time at Disneyland. It's like, no, we did not spend a lot of time at Disneyland. We just took a lot of pictures at Disneyland. You know, we need to take more pictures of just regular everyday stuff, right? It's like, you know, other pictures, like, oh, I'm trying to remember, what did so-and-so look like? It's like, find some pictures. It's like, that's not what they looked like. That's some picture from a publicity shot. That was like totally cleaned up and everything.
Right, right,
But
they
that's
were probably
all we had.
All wearing those Chicago T-shirts most of the time. Right?
Yeah, yeah, they were like they were wearing some shirts that were provided to them, so they were all beautiful and matching and everything. He's like, nobody wore that shirt. Yeah. I don't know where that shirt came from.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so
when we got given these at the launch party, people wore them thanks to a couple of weeks, but I haven't seen them since.
And then they go into a drawer, and and somebody.
I saw one in the company store. They're selling.
Yeah, they can sell them now.
Yeah.
So if you're on campus, come to the company
you
store.
You got the narwhal bacon thing.
Yeah, I thought we've shown the other ones.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've
the T-Rex and the.
Yeah, I've worn the T-Rex on there. Have I worn the unicorn one? I think we've shown the sticker.
There's like three versions of
and
the
last one,
T-Rex and the narwhal.
So I deliberately wore this one today. Just more I was wanted to wear bacon. So.
Well, bacon. Yeah, exactly.
You can't go past bacon.
And we are shamelessly pandering to the Reddit crowd here with this video, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, Raymond has never been actually in the archives. He's visited this foyer many, many times to do
this. I normally never make it past the foyer.
Yep. Oh, and today's today. So let's
take a look.
He hasn't even watched the Channel 9 videos, which is a big no-no.
Well, who has time?
Let's go see what Raymond's first reaction.
Well, no, this is like, you know, if you're gonna try it for Hamlet, you don't want to watch any Hamlet, right? Because that's gonna taint your performance.
Yeah, because then you'll be just like the
Then you're just gonna be. I just want to do it the Kevin Costner Hamlet.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
So did he play Hamlet?
I don't know. I'm just going with it.
Oh, okay.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, that's why I never watch any of the Channel 9 videos of the archives. So that way I would be pure, and you can get an honest reaction when I
go. Awesome.
All right, let's go do that. Now you go first.
Oh!
Wow, there's a lot of stuff here.
It's a vault.
Holy cow.
It's a vault of stuff.
This is kind of scary.
But I like how it's nicely displayed here.
Yeah,
it's very pretty.
You've reorganized it.
It's very pretty. It's like walking into like an egghead.
Yeah.
This is how people used to get computer software.
Back in Windows 95 days.
You walk into a store that has shelves full of stuff, beautifully arranged.
Yeah, I worked in one of those stores.
And they don't exist now.
No, they don't.
And you grab a big cart and go, boof, I'll have an Excel, please.
I would like
a copy of Excel, thunk.
I would like an Excel. One Excel, please. Yeah, very cool.
Julia Child Home Cooking. Holy cow, I didn't know we made that.
Wow.
Microsoft Dogs.
Wine
I don't know
guy?
If that's up here. That was one of the ones that we always, that was always a threat.
Space Simulator.
Yeah, we did do a
space remember
simulator.
That.
That was like our early version of Kerbal Space Program, I guess.
Yeah, the great thing about Space Simulator is like, you know, if you want to do a simulated trip to Mars, it'll take you 2 years. you gotta leave computer running for 2 years because there was no save
if
game.
If it's in real time,
there was
no speed up. Well, the processor wasn't fast enough to do that fast.
Well, flight simulators like that too. If you speed it up, you'll crash. So you have to do everything.
Oh, you have to
believe it. Well, that's what autopilot's for, right?
No, but you still get problems with it.
There's always stuff you have to deal with.
Engine failure that you have to respond to at like 4 times speed or something.
I've done a couple of the London-Singapore runs. It's like 8 hours of boredom, then one minute of disasters.
Oh my goodness.
That's pretty nerdy. That's pretty cool.
The thing about like all these, like Julia Child and all this stuff, it was mean to the Microsoft Home guys, but over in the Windows team, that was always sort of the threat. It's like, you better get your act together or you're going to end up working on Julia Child.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it was Microsoft Dogs.
That
was the product you always used if you wanted to, you know, tell somebody perhaps this operating system stuff isn't cut out for you.
You could
maybe,
go be a programmer.
You know, that's okay. You can still get a job working on Microsoft Dogs.
Right. Well, I mean, that's legitimate. It's probably a little harder to make work than...
No, it is really unfair to the people who work on Microsoft Dogs, though. I mean,
no, that's true. I'm sure they were very, very hard workers and did a great job. Not that I ever used the program.
Dogs. No.
You know.
Now Bob, on the other hand,
I got to use Bob for a little while.
I remember getting.
I don't remember
out.
Much of it.
Still
this
runs
was,
on Windows.
Well, at the time, this was back when I was working in one of those computer stores that had the shelves like this. And it was here in Seattle, and Microsoft invited us all out to come pitch Bob to us because they wanted us to sell it to people. And so I went into this conference room, and they showed off Microsoft Bob, and we were all duly impressed. And I don't think anyone ever bought
Nobody
it.
Ever bought
no
one.
No one ever bought it. So. Yeah, but they tried. They really wanted us to pitch it.
Sam, you want to give us a quick overview of what the archives is and what we can expect to find in here?
Basically, the bulk of our collection, which is actually housed in the boxes in the back, these are circulating copies. And what the reason you're seeing so much nice software and it's displayed prettier than the last time you came in is because we now have another whole range of compact shelving. So we just got a whole bunch more room that should last for the rest of the archive's lifetime. So we were able to take more stuff and put it on the shelves. So in general, we're going to be working on making more in archives displays so that when people come for tours, they see more stuff. Because right now it's all boxed up.
You kind of have to know where it is and go search it out rather than just find
it. So for Raymond, we actually brought some stuff out of boxes so that he could look at it again since he brought it in many years ago.
Wait, were you the one that donated Bear?
No. Bear came from the original development. Actually, it was lost for a while.
Ah.
I remember these things. These are awesome.
These big rolly things.
Those rolly things let you cram that,
Right on.
It's like for the ultimate pack rat.
Yeah.
So here's our table of
Raymond. Oh, it's the table of awesome stuff.
Table of Raymond.
I remember. I forget what happened to mine.
What is this, like a windbreaker?
You donated it.
That's what happened to yours.
That's what happened to it. I gave it to you.
That's perfect.
Oh, this is the stuff that I gave you.
Oh my god.
Let's see. And the harmonica. I remember that.
Harmonica. What's the story with the harmonica?
Oh, this was for some extremely strange niche project thing.
Oh.
It says on the card. Yeah. It had to do with some complicated legal issue. But it involved some development work, and it was a complicated thing that is not very sexy at all. So there was a nice little ship party, and everybody got a harmonica because it was a harmonic convergence of multiple teams working together to solve a complicated problem.
Wow,
we are so clever. Nobody ever thought of this before.
Yeah. That's great. Well, that's better than the team I was on where they came up with a project called Jenga. we're going to be all Project Jenga. And I was do you guys think the object of this game is to build a tower until it collapses?
Yeah, it's are you familiar with this game?
Why would we name our project after something
that falls down?
Mm-hmm.
But we're Project Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
Yeah, exactly. It's Galloping Gertie. That's right. Project Gertie. Wow. So Wells, we got some.
Windows Me beach towel. I need to give to you, unless you already have one, the Windows Me skateboard.
You have one?
You'll take another one? Good, because I ain't using it. and I'm letting my kids do it.
Yeah.
So did it come out in year 2000 or was it slightly later than that?
I think it came out at the end of 2000.
Windows 2000.
It came out after Windows 2000.
Yeah, for a copyright.
And it was a stopgap before XP.
And,
right?
Yeah,
it's got a 2000 copyright, so yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but copyright doesn't necessarily the same as a ship date.
Yeah.
The one joke, of course, was that technically the millennium doesn't start in 2001, so we got an extra year.
Oh, good. Sure. So you worked on Windows.
And I remember after Windows Me was shipped and everybody got to go and pick up their complimentary copy. And so there's a line of us waiting to go pick up our complimentary copy of Windows Me. And I remember one of my coworkers quipped, "I bet this is the longest line of people ever waiting for a copy of Windows Me." And
you're
right. Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think it was ever projected to do all that well.
It was hide us over until Windows XP comes out.
It was solid and everything. It just nobody really. Problem is, 2000 was up against it, and 2000 was so good, I think.
But 2000 was designed more for pro and enterprise users.
It was more of a corporate thing.
Yeah.
And then Me was sort of the grandma thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
eventually we got our act together and came up with XP, which worked for everybody.
Right.
But definitely in the enterprise space, you went from Pro 2000
to
XP Pro. Yeah.
And then we went from 98 to XP because most people skipped Me, right?
Yeah.
So
what's this last one over here?
I'm trying to remember what this is from. This is from some group party or team meeting or something, and everybody got a windbreaker.
That's not a bad
This is kind of like this.
Like a Tyvek fabric.
Isn't that very Windows Server? A back office type
systems
logo?
It sounds sort of server-ish.
Back office tended to have that plain thing going, right?
Yeah.
Back office
used the
mesh. Yeah. Then we went to the wave mesh with the newer 2000, 2010 stuff.
Windows User Experience Team.
Now look at that really retro font design there. It's like User Experience from the 70s team. Not quite sure what they were thinking designing a shirt saying, hey, we're the UI guys and we're going to make it look like we're from the 70s. But I remember getting this one specifically with the archives because you remember the name on the back.
There's a name on it.
You got to ask for a name on the back.
Oh,
look at that.
So on the back it says archives.
Oh, okay.
I did that one for you.
I didn't know that.
You never picked up on that.
Isn't this a racing reference, though?
I don't know what it was.
It's very Lotus-y.
Yeah,
it looks like that's what was my first thing.
Well, I mean, it's like red. Yeah. Nobody can read red. Why would you put stuff text in red?
It is red.
Or at least put a black border around it.
Something, red on gray, not readable.
The irony there is palpable.
It's the irony of the user interface team coming up with an ugly logo that is not readable.
Yes.
This is why we didn't actually sell this one.
And what's this thing? This is like an alcohol pack?
It's a water bottle that goes on your back when you're going for long bike rides.
Okay, this is your Windows 2000 logo.
Yeah, so this must have been a team gift from something or other.
That you didn't use.
That I never used.
It's still
in the package, never been bitten.
So you skip that little disc over there.
This disc, Neptune.
What is Neptune?
Neptune was an experimental user interface project. It was called Neptune because NT, get it, Neptune? It was a brand new shell, throwing away everything we knew about the old shell, like starting over. It's like, if you got everything to start over, how would we design it? And Neptune lasted, I'm trying to remember, it lasted about a year, not quite a year, before people realized that it wasn't panning out. It had some clever ideas, like you never saved anything. Everything was always just saved for you.
It's sort of
Web 2.0-y, right? It's like you never save anything. Yeah. It's just always there.
Kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah, everything ran full screen. There was, there's some of the ideas, the modern ideas we had in there. But of course, there were no apps for it because it was a whole new system.
It's dated December 99.
Okay, so this was before we decided, I remember because this was at the same time that Windows Me was under development. And so the team said, okay, we're going to have most of us working on this Neptune project. Well, we need like 5 people to do some work for Windows Me.
Really?
Because, we need to do a little bit of work for Windows Me.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I volunteered to do some of the Windows Me stuff.
Wow.
By the time Windows Me was done, like 9 months later, the Neptune project was like, okay, that's done. We're going to do something else now. So I totally missed this.
So
it was even better. It was one
really,
of my.
Had very little development in the UI.
On the UI side, there was not a lot of work done in Windows Me. There was some sort of high-profile work, but the thing is that then it turned into a game of schedule chicken, where it's like, okay, well, here's the work we were thinking of doing for Windows Me, but we don't think we can make it by the deadlines on the schedule that was set for us. And so some teams get into this game called Schedule Chicken, where everybody intentionally overbooks, and it's like you just hope that somebody else is late more than you are. But we decided we were gonna be grown-ups about it, and we said, no, we can't make it according to the schedule as promised. We probably could make it if the schedule slips, but we are not going to play Schedule Chicken. We're just going to not do it because we're just going to be honest and grown up about it. And so there was a bunch of work that we started, and we said, no, we're not going to be able to finish it in time, so we cut it. So Windows Me had even, as much as you thought it had not a lot of work, it had even less. Less that actually shipped because we decided that we couldn't get it all done, and we just cut it.
So was there a consistent movement of the UI? Because I remember in 95, it shipped, and then about a couple months later, NT4
picked it up. Yeah.
Has there been a continual developer in the 95, 98 Me area and then ship it across to NT? Is that been the process, or?
What happened was that the Windows 95 team was worried about getting Windows 95 done. And there was a handful of people, I want to say like 6 to 8 people on the NT side whose job it was to take the Windows 95 code and get it running on NT. And so there are a couple of conventions in the source code that, certain words are like, it's lowercase, These things are lowercase if they're 95 only. And once the NT team fixes it up so it works in NT, they convert it to uppercase. And so you can look for things that are lowercase, and I'll tell you things that aren't converted yet. Mm. It was a sort of very arbitrary convention, but
it worked.
It helped us find all the places that needed to be updated. Let us find the places that hadn't been done yet. So let's see, 95, 98, 2000, the XP, and then the stuff that everybody the stuff that people remember.
There we go.
Vista 7.
Eight.
Oh, whoops.
It's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. Everybody. Nope. Nobody gives Windows Vista.
I didn't see you guys catch that.
I remember. I there was a call for people who wanted to be the hand model for the Windows Vista. How to open the box instructions.
Oh, yeah, because they have this funny
because it
plastic.
Because it was, cause somebody decided they're going to be really clever and got, have
oh,
a
this
fancy.
Was still sealed.
Yeah, but there's like, you have to pull this tab and the thing, and it slides out. It's this beautiful, it's like the onigiri that you get, right? It's like, it's this beautiful triangle of seaweed and rice and some fish inside. But until somebody teaches you how to open it, you just stare and you're like, how do I open this thing? Then you open it, you're like, wow, that was pretty cool. But somebody had to teach you.
Yeah.
And so they decided they were going to try to be like sushi and and have the Windows Vista box be this beautiful box, if only you could figure out how to open it.
Yeah.
So they had to put instructions on the internet how to open the box, and they had a call out saying anybody who wants to be the hand model for doing it. And they had some rules. It's like, you know, no jewelry, no tattoos. You have to be in very clean hands, no long fingernails, you know, very...
Wow. They didn't just go like hire a model, you know, from a modeling agency.
I think this was one of the cases where it's like, first of all, hey, we can save some money.
Yeah. Sure.
And second of all, it's like somebody on the product team gets to brag that their hand is in the unboxing instructions.
Nice.
And I don't know who eventually they chose. It wasn't me because my hands are horrible.
Right on. Yeah. Well, they kind of kept that similar style.
The sort of rounded off corner
for the
look.
Seven packaging, but it's not quite as. I think this one has a swivel that swivels out or something. And
Just and this one's just a box.
That's just basically a DVD, fancy DVD.
It's a fancy DVD. This is the one, like, you have to go ask your, like, 12-year-old nephew to open this thing because you can't figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it may be the least respected of all the Windows versions, except for maybe me, but it's got the coolest packaging.
Well, it's got the most frustrating packaging.
Yeah, that's true.
I think one of the things about Vista is, and we've talked about this on the show prior, technology-wise, it was an amazing release. It introduced a lot of things in the kernel and elsewhere.
But the guts are amazing.
But it was just ahead of its time. UAC, the balance wasn't right. You know, a bit too many prompts and stuff. And the compute wasn't there. But if it had come out 2 years later on slightly bigger hardware and stuff like that.
Well, it did. It was called
Windows 7 is like all the technology of Windows Vista with a UI that's a little nicer.
But it was without a doubt one of the most staggering releases from a technology point of view.
We still get a lot of, I remember, well, not now, but at the time, we would get calls from corporations saying, hey, we have this problem. We're upgrading all our systems in Windows 7. And we found that, you know, so-and-so doesn't work. This is a problem that's new in Windows 7. It's like, no, it's actually not new in Windows 7. This problem existed in Windows Vista. You guys just never installed it, so you would never have known.
Yeah.
He's like, if you had mentioned it before, we could have fixed it in Windows 7. But you didn't, so hey.
Now we've gone to this minimalist packaging now.
What's this is and 10 and 0
this packaging. This is back in the days when software came in a package.
Still, now 10 you can technically buy in a box, but it's...
Really?
Oh, yeah, they've got it at the company store. But it comes in with a USB stick, not a DVD.
Cool. So if there anything in the archives you think you want to see, like, do you want to search out Clippy?
Clippy's
there's
back
Clippy.
There spying on us. Yeah.
Is the alpha server on one of these giant rolling things? This is the. Here it is. The alpha server.
Alpha server.
The alpha server. Woot! Oh, he's got a friend parked on top.
It's a giant.
So you get to tell the story of when I brought the alpha server over.
I do, don't. So he offered me an alpha server running the only copy of Windows 2000 in the world. Right?
The only copy of 64-bit Windows 2000 for alpha.
Oh. And there was a line in it that said it was the size of a dorm refrigerator, but I didn't actually read that line. So I walked out the door and there's Raymond in the back of a pickup, a cute little mini pickup truck, with this thing that he's pulling out of the back of the car. And I found out it was a little bigger than I thought it was. But
It's already been on the internet.
It has been on the internet with the original dust. I remember when this guy, man, he was awesome in the day. He had, it's a quad proc alpha.
What year we're talking about here?
We're talking like
95, right?
96. No. This is like 99. Quad proc alpha, 100 megahertz processors.
Ooh.
And I don't know if you can't really tell, but it's this deep, and there's like two rows of hard drives, total of like 19 gigabytes of disk space, spanned over probably like what, like 20 hard drives.
Right.
So that. This was like total, and you turn it on, and it made about as much noise as a vacuum cleaner mm-hmm. when you turned it on. So it was.
It was a beast.
It was very impressive for its day.
Yeah.
Right. Nowadays you can get all the computing power of this and more on your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
But that's the Alpha server. It's still here.
And we still supported Alpha on NT up until like Windows 2000 or something, didn't we?
I think it got cut just before Windows 2000 shipped.
Oh, okay, right. So it's an NT4 kind of deal.
Yeah, but we had all these Alphas sitting around, and so when the team started working on 64-bit Windows, right, there was basically only two processors that were in play at the time. The Itanium and the Alpha, which was already a 64-bit processor, because the X64 architecture hadn't really come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so Itanium existed only in software emulation, so it ran at about 1 megahertz.
Yeah.
And so the 64-bit Windows team just used all these spare Alphas. Basically, the very first operating system to run 64-bit Windows, or the very first processor to run 64-bit Windows, was the Alpha. And all of the initial, like getting things off the ground, all that stuff was all done on Alphas, but never actually shipped because nobody uses Alphas anymore.
So and when we were actually releasing Windows on Alpha, it was 32-bit,
yeah.
But it was on a 64-bit processor.
Yeah, the Alpha processor natively is 64-bit, but we were just running it, we were just only using the 32-bit part of it.
Well, back then, who needed 4 gigabytes of address
space? Yeah, well, back then, like, you know, a totally rocket machine at 32 mega memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really need all that 64-bit.
In fact, it's actually wasting space because of the extra points.
It's true. Yeah.
You're using twice as much memory for everything.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right, so you only have 16 megabytes of effective memory.
So did you have an Itanium computer in your office at any time?
I did not have an Itanium in my office. However, that didn't mean I didn't have an Itanium because the Itanium also was very loud, very noisy.
Yeah.
It was the only computer I know that had engineering styrofoam in it. If you opened up the case, there were all these blocks of styrofoam whose purpose was to direct airflow over all the correct parts in the correct order so it wouldn't overheat. And there were stickers on the styrofoam that says, do not move, engineering styrofoam.
Engineering styrofoam.
So basically it's like, if you ever took the styrofoam out, you had to like take careful notes as to where it went. So when you put it back in and you turned it on, the thing didn't overheat in 5 minutes. But the Itanium wasn't actually in my office. I put it in the office of the person whose office was across the hall from me because their office was, they always complained that their office was cold.
Ah.
And so I was like, I can solve two problems. Well, the reason their office was cold because they didn't have like 5 computers in their office. They only had like one. And so everybody else, has like 5 computers in their office. So the air conditioner is just going crazy and they're freezing. Mm. So I was like, okay. So we put a couple of like these really big, heavy things to sort of balance out the heat production.
And then that person just had to live with the noise, I guess.
And they just had to deal with the noise, yeah.
I remember we had some Itaniums in the lab back during Sorrow 3 days, and I was always sort of unimpressed with, because I was, oh wow, 64-bit, this is gonna be awesome. And I go in and this thing's slower than a regular like 32-bit machine. They were really not that fast. So it was sort of unimpressive. Maybe the later ones got better, but earlier.
Well, I mean, the thing is that we had the disadvantage of developing on silicon that was also under development. Right, so it's like, oh yes, this thing is running at 2 megahertz. Really, that's as fast as it goes right now.
Yeah.
And then AMD came along and kind of solidified the 64-bit, and that's why we call it AMD 64 and not X64, because they got there first. And
well, it's not that they came up with the 64-bit architecture. They just said, you know, we're just going to go a different way. And so they came up with their thing, and it was called AMD 64. And that's why, internally, the X64 builds are called AMD 64, because they got there first.
Yeah. We haven't renamed it to X64 yet.
I have to be renaming, so you have to change everything. This is terrible.
Well, I have noticed something behind you that I've got to get Amy to explain what it is. Why is there a Bill bobblehead thingy?
It's a really big, it's like a life-size Bill bobblehead with a ding taken out of his cheek.
Oh, he's actually a bobblehead. His head does move.
It's a bobblehead.
Yeah.
It's a giant bobblehead.
Sorry, Bill. So this is from the D6 conference, Walt Mossberg's conference. And this greeted all of the attendees at the registration desk. And you've probably seen Bill doing that with his hands, right?
He always does that. That's his thing.
It's classic Bill. But yeah, he was damaged when he got to us. But it's part of the Bill Gates gift collection that's scattered throughout the archives.
Very cool.
Cool.
Got a lot of cool stuff there.
All right, what else we can find?
Look at this.
Eine Hotz, die andere nicht. Nice posters from around the world. Oh, 8-inch drives.
8-inch drives. And a portrait monitor. Is this like a Xerox PARC?
It is
a something
or other.
It's a word processor, actually.
It's a word processor.
So it's not...
One word.
It doesn't technically fit our collection profile because it did not run Microsoft software, but it was a word processor competitor at the time that word came out.
Oh, so this is competitive research.
Well,
sort of.
Somehow it just looks cool.
It looks cool. It's like, it's a word processor.
We're going to do a video shoot over at the Living Computer Museum soon.
You're going to see all sorts of cool stuff.
They got all kinds of this.
Yeah, theirs is actually an Alto.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Lots of CRTs.
Yeah, I remember those, having some of those on my desk. And, you know, I'd had one of these desks that you could, like, you know, it was adjustable height, but it was like spring tensioner. And you get it, and then you'd get all the things so you for your two big 21-inch monitors. And then I moved the monitors off, and I hit the thing, and the thing pops up because all the weight is now off of it. It's been calibrated for these big monitors. Yeah.
Alright, let's have a look.
And you have to keep these things around because a lot of the old software only runs on the original hardware. Like, they don't run in emulators.
That's true. That's true.
Because they, especially like the DOS stuff, they all play crazy games with the hardware and the
Once again, not a Microsoft product, but
that's
when these came out they said like only 200 people in the world would need a mobile phone, right?
Well, now we're down to $199.
This is like the Back to the Future area. It's like, it goes back to the future this
technology
week.
Technology from the 80s.
Right, yeah. We were talking about that. So the Back to the Future came out 30 years ago, right? Well, so we got the camcorder, the Doc Brown thing.
Hoverboards.
Yeah, October 21 is the date they went to in Back to the Future 2 in the future.
Right.
So we've got a lot of the things.
We got the Walkman there. That also
TVs.
Played a role. Yeah.
How to program your IBM PC, BASIC for beginners. That's awesome.
I notice here we've got Microsoft BASIC for the Atari 800. Now, I have an Atari 800 in my closet at home. So I could technically run this, although it's on...
It's on cassette, probably.
No, it's on floppy, and I don't think I have a working floppy drive for my
And I'm not
Atari.
Sure the floppy disk is still good.
It may not be. Yeah. Originally sold for $89.95 at JCPenney. Later marked down to $49.99.
Oh, well, you got a steal.
Great, yeah.
What's the story about the
briefcase? It's kind of interesting. It's like all the magnetic media is like decaying, but like all the old, really old software and paper tape, still good.
That's true.
What's the briefcase story?
Well, these are actually, I'm going to be doing some exhibits in these boxes, and these are just props. They actually came from the visitor center.
Okay.
They changed things out over there.
Gotcha.
That reminds me, I mentioned paper tape, that reminds me of a story. There was, back in the old days, there was somebody who, you know, Microsoft was a tiny little company. I was not there for this. It was one of my coworkers who was. Somebody called up and said, "Hey, you know, I'd like to place an order for your software. I'd like a copy of your, what was it, Microsoft Focal, which was a programming language designed by DEC and did matrix arithmetic and stuff. Mm. I'd like a copy of Microsoft Focal, please, on paper tape, because that's what it came on." And they said, "Okay, hang on a second. You know, we'll take your order, but thank you, okay, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, blah, blah, blah." Because everything took 6 to 8 weeks back then.
Yeah.
6 to 8 weeks, it's like, okay. Then he went back, and he's like, "Hey, you know," and then they go to fulfillment, and it was like, we don't have a copy of Microsoft Focal. So okay. What do you mean we don't have it? It's like, it's not here. It's not on the shelf. It's, you know, it's like, well, just make a copy of the master. It's like, we don't have the master. It's like, nobody could find it. We lost the master.
We just lost our only copy.
We lost our only copy of Microsoft Focal.
Microsoft lost their only copy of a product.
Of a product. And so they had to go back to the customer and say, oh, I'm sorry, that product's been discontinued. Here's your money back.
It's asset manufacturing.
Wow, that's impressive.
So we
didn't have the archives.
We didn't have archives back then. The archives was probably like somebody's desk drawer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's amazing. Yeah, Microsoft lost a product.
Lost a product. And it had been lost for years. It's just that nobody had ever ordered it. Finally, somebody orders it. And it's like, oh, where is it? And I was like, I don't know. We lost it.
Too bad. So I guess we can't go look for our copy in
of
the
Microsoft
archives.
Focal. Microsoft Focal, it won't be in there.
It's not in here. Well, now you're going to go look. Maybe
somebody may have found it.
There might be a copy of the manual. We just won't have the software to go along with it.
Well, now you know you need to go, like, put out a request on the internet for anybody that has a copy
of Microsoft Focal on paper tape.
We're still looking
for that copy.
Exactly.
Have you got much paper tape on file?
I do have a few things.
Some paper tapes.
I have paper tape. That's our oldest software format that we have.
This is in tape reels or is it in cards?
It's little rolls.
It's a spool.
Yeah, that's what the Altair used, right? It was a little spool.
Yeah, it's basically teletype.
Is it paper or like plastic?
It's paper.
Ooh.
It's literally.
See, you don't want to run that thing too many times. It'll get torn up.
Yeah, and it came in different colors. Like there's black and there's sort of a pink and then there's a... Because different manufacturers made the tape because it was the same tape you'd use for a teletype. But you couldn't drop it and lose your whole program. Punch cards were not very efficient that way.
Yeah, the sequencing wasn't great.
Right.
So these drawers, Raymond, if you care, have schematics in them. Are you interested in that type of stuff? Like
schematics?
Like for the Microsoft mouse, for example?
Yeah, last time we were here, we saw the mouse. Well, it wasn't a schematic, it was the actual printed silkscreen master.
I'm not an EE, so most of these diagrams don't mean anything to me.
He's not a hardware guy.
Yeah. Although it's pretty cool.
RE and F. We can all look at buildings.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, this is what our campus used to look like. Oh, this is the master plan. This is what we dreamed of our campus looking like.
Oh, right. Before it actually was
built. What year is this from?
I think this one's around
94. December 94.
We actually stuck to a lot of... Well, wait, hang on.
So the original four buildings, which is kind of iconic, and we've talked about that with Larry a fair bit.
9, 10, 11.
There's no 7, you'll notice, and I think you've blogged about this only thing that it's a newbie joke to send someone to building 7.
Yes, and then there was a time when facilities said, oh, we're going to build building 7. Like, they were going to build another building at this rough location. Or, it's like, well, obviously we'll call it building 7. It was such an uproar.
Oh,
it's like, no,
really?
You cannot build a building 7. People it would ruin all of our jokes. So they renamed the building 37.
Yeah, 37.
And they promised that they would never name a building 7.
Nice. This is Lake Bill, right?
That's Lake Bill.
So which has in Koi in it now.
In particular reason why it's called Lake Bill? I mean, what was the idea behind that?
It's because a lake and our boss is Bill.
Okay, yeah. As simple as that.
Did it always have the koi in it? Because I walked by there the other day, it's got these goldfish. But I
don't remember the goldfish being there. Usually it was just like algae
and Bill.
Yeah, that's what I remembered. So I was surprised when I walked by it a few months back and I was like, hey, it's really nice here and there's koi. And
it was often a sort of a way of motivating the troops. To say, you know, if we accomplish this goal, I'm going to swim the length of Lake Bill.
Right.
And they always regretted it because it is not fun to swim in.
Oh, I bet. You end up with swimmer's itch or something.
It's not pretty.
Algae.
And then there was the rooster who had always hung around Lake Bill.
Oh, really?
There was a rooster. I don't know how it got there, but there was a rooster on campus who seemed to take a liking to the geese. He's always chasing the geese around. Okay. He was sort of not aware of this interspecies thing.
Sure.
But I don't know what happened to the goose. Maybe a coyote got him or something.
Yeah, the coyote. It was actually a dog. It was a stray dog.
It was a dog.
Oh, really? Oh, Amy knows this.
Yeah.
This is East Tech, back when we had East Tech.
That was, I think, where the original company store was.
Yeah, the company store was right there.
Yeah.
This is
the library. The library was in 4, then it moved here.
Library was in 13, company store was in 14.
Yeah.
So this was people's houses at this point in time? These blocks?
Or other companies?
I don't remember if they took down houses to build 31 through 33
offices here, and this is all Exchange and Link and stuff like that these days, and These are bulldozed and made new ones? These are by Briefing Center now.
So.
Yeah, they got, but these got bulldozed, right?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Yeah, this is all Briefing Center.
I remember this building, 19, is that used to be the McDonnell Douglas building.
Oh, is that why it looks so different?
And I remember looking at the McDonnell Douglas building, it's like, why does McDonnell Douglas have an office in Redmond? And then I realized, oh, so they can spy on Boeing.
Oh.
Yeah. Right, you gotta have an office here so you have people who can, you know, listen to what's going on.
Sounds legit.
So we've squeezed in, so 26 is where we had the episode 100 thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is where I used to work.
And 27
and then
is actually
28's on here, which is right
28
here.
28 is like right there.
It says future 27.
27 is there, and it does look like that.
Yeah.
And then across the road, there's all of the, well, this is our new...
the 40s.
This is the 40s are up here, and this is our bus area now.
It is all inside baseball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm talking about baseball.
Well, baseball's 20 here. Over here is where the Channel 9 studio is.
Yeah.
That's still there.
And then this is what, maybe a quarter of campus now?
Oh, it's way, way bigger than this now.
So you can kind of double it. At least double it that way, maybe one and a half that way.
Red West.
And then
Red West, put another campus north, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
This way and that way.
Yeah, more down there. It's probably at least 3 or 4 times this big now.
Yeah. Very cool.
See, we can all talk about buildings. Cool. The thing about those, you don't get to see what the bathroom gender balance is. I was in a building where, no, you have to flip this thing down. I was in a building where, there were, you know, bathrooms around, but they were mostly women's rooms.
Uh-huh.
Because it used to be, because it used to be a record-keeping building.
Nice.
And I guess the gender balance used to be mostly women worked in record-keeping.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, well now it's, you know, we're gonna move a whole bunch of developers in.
Oh.
It's like the gender balance for developers a little different from the gender balance for record keeping.
Right.
And so if you were looking for a ladies' room, man, you were set.
They were set. Yeah.
You were set. If you're looking for a men's room, you had to hunt a little.
This looks like another circuit board.
Yeah, that'd be a circuit board.
Or the seating chart for the Windows 95 launch. Could be.
Could be.
There's Jay Leno right there.
Oh.
This is the queue to pick up your Windows Me.
No, that's the queue. That's right.
Well, this looks like an ISA card of some kind.
Yeah.
It says drilling schedule, so I'm kind of scared.
I think this is actually one of these like silkscreen layouts for the
PC.
That's ISA. That's awesome.
Those are the connectors.
Yeah, it's an ISA 8-bit.
There's
ISA
a solder mask. It's some sort of board.
But what's it do, though?
It's probably for. I bet you it's for like the. Remember, our mouse used to come with an interface card.
Oh.
Probably something like
that. Yeah, it is because it's not wide enough for IDA or anything.
It's 87.
Yeah, I think
87.
It's all the,
so it could have been like a soft card.
It could be memory. The way it's laid out.
You know, it might be the Mac Enhancer board.
Is there
actually
anything else?
There
here we go. Is there some identification on it? 286.
286.
Breakthrough.
Breakthrough 286. So maybe this was a 286 add-on card? I don't know.
It might be how you got your 287 on it, maybe.
At some point, I think we sold math coprocessor boards.
Yeah. We did, 287s.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway. 287.
It's all cool stuff.
Neat. Very
is
cool.
That good? All right.
All right. How many minutes are we up to, Gonaz?
55.
All right, we can do that.
Oh my goodness, that box of Encarta is so big.
Which one?
Encarta Urban Suite, man, it's like, remember when software came in a box that was only this big?
It came on a LaserDisc sized DVD.
Look at that thing.
Whoa, that's bigger than
even
I thought.
Bigger.
Especially bigger than I thought.
Wow, Microsoft.
I always thought Encarta came in a smaller CD.
This is the LaserDisc version.
Oh, this is a LaserDisc. Because it comes with a LaserDisc player too.
In 2001.
In 2001.
Yeah, well, maybe we had some extra LaserDisc stock we needed to get rid of.
Look at this.
Prologue. What is this funny thing?
This is not a mixing board for DJ. It's something else.
Wow.
System analyzer.
Old
printers.
Printer, which I'm sure the ink cartridges have long since dried out because they do that after about a week.
Oh, talking about the campus.
Oh, is it campus? Aerial photo.
We got an aerial photo here.
Here, grab that. Take it out.
All right.
Take it out.
Okay, that's kind of a creepy painting.
Whoa. I was hoping you were going to notice that.
That's just kind of weird.
It's real art.
That's from The Road Ahead. I recognize that pose.
It was from The Road Ahead.
Okay, I have to hold it this way.
It was from Press Pass.
He's got a giant campus map.
Giant.
What do we got?
Is
there
a year on that one?
What? So this is what we were showing just then. No, where am I?
No, this is it.
Yeah, this is what we were showing then.
Yeah. This is more recent, I think.
Yeah, this is when, because it is 83 under construction, which they just finished a couple of weeks ago.
This looks pretty recent.
So this is all Microsoft here. This is actually Nintendo America headquarters.
Yeah.
But this is Microsoft. This is all Microsoft. This is you. So we're... Web West is considered to be another campus.
Yep.
And then you got all the company store and all the Azure stuff, and Windows Phone guys tend to be over there. And
very cool.
Yep.
One of my friends lives like right here. Well, actually, maybe around here in this neighborhood. He kind of got frustrated because originally when Microsoft was like right here, he would walk to work or ride his bicycle to work, and he would be he would like not be at work until he was almost at his office. But as Microsoft opened, basically he opened his door across the street and he was on Microsoft property.
Right.
Which kind of bugged him because now he's like most of his commute
is
on Microsoft campus. Property. So he sort of just as a point of principle like takes the long way around so he can log some miles that aren't at work before he gets to work.
Good call. Nice.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we'll put this down. And I found some signing things. So see if...
Oh, yes.
Are you involved in any way on one
of
these?
No, I'm not involved in any of these things.
Yeah.
So Orca. Well,
I haven't signed any of these things in a long time.
Okay.
So that's a Visual Studio one.
I don't know.
Vista? Or is this...
No, this is .NET 3.
This is all dev division.
It's all dev division.
This is all developer stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, not this Windows cool stuff. So let me just sneak down here one more time. All right, we've lost Raymond.
So it gives us
an opportunity.
He's
to,
off in Teletubby land.
Yeah. Gives us an opportunity to shut this episode down. We will see you again next week. As always, email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. See you next week with more archives.
All right.